Welcome to another episode of the Jonathan Project Podcast. Our purpose is to help men navigate the complex world around them and to help them sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron and be the men that God wants them to be. And we take the biblical example of Jonathan and his loyalty and friendship with his future King David as the show's inspiration. If you want us to come out and speak to a men's engagement, schools, businesses, please reach out to us at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Jason, welcome to episode 10 of season 2 of the Jonathan Project. I'm glad you're here.
Man,
and how are you doing?
Episode 10.
That's right.
After reading the first set of comments after episode one, not even four, episode one, you would have never thought we'd made it this far.
That's all right. We're here.
So how you been, man? Everything going okay?
I mean, it's rocking and rolling. There's been some peaks and some valleys, but you know, it's been okay. I'm glad. I'm excited to get into this last episode of season two and then, you know, kind of let the folks know what's going to happen in season three or what we're going to try to do. But yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, good, good. Well, hey, I need to give a shout out to Shoals Creek Baptist Church. They invited me out to do their men's breakfast this morning. And so, as you know, I got up super early. I had super early day yesterday and super day early this week. And I just want to tell you, your relevant statement of where you get your truth, or the statement of where you get truth, is extremely relevant. So here's what happened. I got up this morning. I was making notes. I was doing my thing, extreme concentrating very heavy on getting ready to go do this. And as I was working through it, I was sending the address over to my other phone and going to map it out to get there. Well, I plug in and I'm like, oh, it's cool. It's only 20 minutes away. So I take off driving. And as you know, my wife calls, she's like, hey, did you make it? And I'm like, yeah, you know, this thing is not very far from where our son's best friend's grandparents live, because we had to go out there to pick him up. Yeah. And I said, as a matter of fact, this must be right near their house. And then all of a sudden it says, turn into their house. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have hit the wrong address.
Oh man,
I was on the other side of the county. So I had to call and I said, hey,
I'm going to be late.
I'll be there in 30 minutes. Yeah. So I got there this morning, came in, had a cup of coffee, sat down, and it was great fellowship.
Good.
Yeah. It was really nice people. It was a great sermon. I think anybody could check it out online if they wanted to. But very, very hospitable people and very nice. Yeah. So I had to give a shout out to them this morning. So
no, that's great. But you also had a big weekend. I want to let you know the audience know, and I'm going to give you your flowers, as it's popular to say nowadays. While we're still living, you know, you walked out of battalion command, SF battalion command, command sergeant major time. So you know, you had your change of responsibility. That's a big deal. You know, yeah. What about that? How did that go?
It's really good. You know, of course, you really do care about the people. Some of them will be listening to this podcast. And it's very awkward when give you the accolades, and I appreciate you sliding this in unannounced.
Oh, yeah.
Not part of the pre-conversation or greatness in any way. So it was very good, but it was really good to see people. It's a definite show of caring. I told a friend of mine, I said, you know, as I told them there, I could literally tell a story about everyone in the formation as I've gotten to know them all, and they are a big part of my family. They're in great hands. The guy that's taken my position is a long-term friend. I've known him for 25 years. Really good guy. Their commander is a great guy, too. It's been an absolute blessing to be there this whole time. Colby, I was very fortunate. I had commanders that I worked with in the past that were like, just go take care of the troops. And it really did. But thank you for that derail and that.
Absolutely.
You have a written contract on pre-conversation.
No, you know what? It's okay. You know, we have to, you know, celebrate, you know, those big moments. And, you know, it's such a tremendous thing. And I know a lot of people, you know, you've touched a lot of lives and been a positive influence, and you continue to serve. So, you know, shout out to you for that. But
well,
we're getting ready, folks, to, as Jason would say, throw a few buses around. We're wrapping up the two-part episode, which is our season finale. We're going to talk about politics, but we're going to really talk about the hope and where do you turn for hope. And that's going to kind of sum up our kind of take on politics as we're very close to election season, not just for the presidential election, but also for your local state level kind of politics environment. So, Jason, what are your kind of initial thoughts as we talk about hope and where people turn in politics in general?
Well, let's go back and let's kind of recap a few key things in that. You know, kings are raised and taken down by God for his purpose. You know, we talked at length about the Pharaoh. I've got that highlighted in my Bible. But when you look at Satan, okay, and Satan's number one thing is to divide. As Christians, we should be unified in that we're kingdom. We're of the kingdom first. We're ambassadors for Christ. You know, and I look at how Satan looks to create a division, where he literally said, I will be like God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and of course, he left out of the kingdom, right? He didn't say he would be God, and he didn't say he would be competing. He just said, hey, I'm going to be like God. And that caused all that division. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the very first division between Eve, and he gets to her, and Eve goes, if I touch this fruit, I'm not to touch it, or I'll surely die. Satan goes, you know what? You're not going to die. So then she touches it, and she doesn't die. And Satan capitalized on a lack of understanding of the truth with Eve. And that's where, as a lot of Americans, we look at what's truth? What's truth? And as you pointed out last time, the Bible is our source of the truth, right?
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, it's the living word, which is, he has a name, and his name is Jesus. He is the word, and the word is contained in the Bible. You know, as I think about this, you know, as politics, and we had a really good conversation, as we always do, and we always kick ourselves, like, why didn't I write this down? Because that was the podcast that we just talked about for the last 45 minutes. But, you know, politics, whether you're chasing money, titles, as we've talked about here on the podcast before, influence, power, all of those things really generate a false sense of this thing called hope. And there's a reason why the Bible and Jesus, he spends some time talking about, where are you placing your hope? Because that's where your heart is going to follow. And really what the problem is when you place your hope and your heart that follows with that into something like politics or a candidate, you inevitably lead yourself to being what? Disappointed. And when you get disappointed, it leads to these other kinds of emotions called anger and fear, which fear is a multi-billion dollar industry. You don't believe me? Turn on your favorite political news stream, whatever it is, and listen to the fear. Listen to the non-talk about policies and talk about, if you go this way, if you vote for whatever, whoever, this bad thing is going to happen. And so Satan's strategy, Jason, you know, as we've talked about so many times on here, is to sow division. And in this modern world of politics, you know, they want to sell you this false hope. And if you just really slow down, and this is going to be a theme throughout this episode in particular, if you slow down and just listen to what people are saying, you're not hearing a lot about of substance. You're hearing a lot about of, if you go whatever, which way, you're going to cause X, Y, Z of harm. You know, there's a lot of fear, and the spirit of fear is not of the Lord. And so as kingdom people, you know, we have to be really careful of what are we allowing and what spirit are we allowing to govern our lives, even in the arena of politics, because Jesus is sovereign, God is sovereign, and whoever wins the election, we should remember that. And we're going to kind of touch on that here in a few minutes in a little bit more detail, but God is sovereign, and he is not of fear or chaos.
You know, what you had to say was right about fear. Fear and anxiety get us to stop and reassess. And believe it or not, it's a tactic used in politics. If people don't think that there is a huge psychology behind politics, you're wrong. There is an absolute psychology and data out there that says, well, if the candidate speaks first, what's the impact of them, you know, going forward to the election and any of the debates, if, versus if they speak last, you know, what's the impact of that? News, there's this news channel in Arizona, like Channel 12 or something like that. They did this random study and they said, all right, we'll just take a random hour and we'll count the number of political or number of ads that come up. They had, I forget the exact number total, but of that, I think it was 39 ads, 17 of those were politically motivated ads within an hour.
Yeah.
COVID. 14 of those were negative ads. 3 of those were positive. 14 of those were stirring in fear, right? And fear is a crazy good divider amongst the Christians. Satan's used it. By the way, here's some, let's lay down some real thought here. 65% of America claims to be a Christian. So, how many people are voting as ambassadors for Christ? What are you looking at? God cares about how his people vote more than who they vote for, right?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's a powerful statistic. That's a powerful number because that is greater than a majority. And if that held true, then it really gives us a mirror. And we've talked about this on the first part of this series here. If you look at the nation that God chose to bring in the Messiah, the Christ, the one who is our Savior, Jesus Christ, Israel, it paints a picture on a lot of different things of how to handle the world around us. And from a political standpoint, what you see is a couple clear examples of it's about the people. Mm-hmm. And he will give the people what they want to bring them to his will and purposes. For example, the good king, the bad king. It's kind of scenario that you see play out in Kings and in the Bible. Well, let's bring that to the modern kind of way. If 65% of America says that they're Christians, Bible-based, believing followers of Jesus Christ, then when you have a candidate that you don't like on either side, wherever, however you want to look at it, you have a Congress, you have a commissioner, whatever it is, then you're not voting in a way that aligns with your principles and what God has given you. I go to the point that the mirror is being cast back to us from a societal standpoint. Does that kind of make sense, Jason? But
yeah,
if 65% are out there, then why then are we in such states? And then they should bring us as believers to the point that our hearts are being turned away from the Lord and he is trying to bring us back as we go through all these machinations and bad things are happening, so to speak.
You hit the nail on the head, and I know I use that phrase a lot. I'm sure I'll get that critique here pretty soon from our greatest fan. Who's all right? So yeah, I'm digging a hole. I know. Let's think about this. Think of it from a lens of eternity. All right, you got a Michael Jackson this thing with the man in the mirror. Like that's really it. If 65% you don't like America, you don't like who we have as candidates, well, you're a big part. You're 100% of the problem because God looks at you from an individual lens.
Yes,
sir. He doesn't look and go, well, guess what? You passed away during, I don't know, Reagan's administration or Bill Clinton's administration. You guys get to go to heaven and you guys don't because of the leader. It doesn't. It's an individual thing.
Yes,
Jesus
sir.
Says, you know, he died for whosoever, right? That whosoever is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
And I brought this up today in that men's breakfast. I said, we can assess value to something by how much it costs and how much you pay for.
Yeah.
And we were all paid for with the exact same amount. Jesus Christ paid for it all. The person, he paid for it all. Paid for it all the same. So we all have the same value.
Yeah.
And it is a personal relationship. You know, think about the kings, Colby, and you probably have several off the top of your head that sounded good, but were not so good in the Bible, right? Like I think about Solomon, super wise, right?
Man.
The smartest man who ever lived. But if you look at 1 Kings chapter 11, his heart was turned away.
And yes, sir.
He went to idols. And right after that, Israel had some problems. But then also, I think about Josiah. And Josiah mandated, he tried to legislate morality. And he says he became king when he was 8 years old. When he became king, he says his heart was turned towards God, and he tore down all the idols. He did everything else. The problem was that the people were not. The ruler was good, but the people weren't. And right after that, they get it tore out of the frame because God is interested in the people. So as Americans on both sides of that fence, political fence, we have a unifier as ambassadors for Christ, not being traitors to the kingdom. We that should be our number one focus.
Yes, sir. No, you're right. And, you know, to double down on the point of, it's an individual thing, as my grandfather would say, is everyone is going to have to stand before the king for themselves. And we have to give account of all areas of our life as a believer of what we did with the resources, talents, and gifts around us. The number one thing, if you look at either of the two major parties in the U.S., I guarantee you won't find the following, what I'm about to say, is their core mission is to espouse the gospel of Jesus Christ, promote his kingdom, and to win everyone to the kingdom.
Yeah.
So what is the practical matter of there? You know, and you know, folks have, you know, reach out and say, hey, what does that mean practically? Well, it really, what it means is when you step into that ballot box here in a, you know, few weeks, you really have to think about, what am I promoting through this vote? Mm-hmm. Am I promoting to the best of my abilities and the choices that are before me the kingdom? Or am I promoting the adversary and his kingdom? Because it's really one or the other. And you have to think about it in that way. Where is your heart? You know, I'll give you an example from the Bible. When you look at what happened with the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, they had about, let's say, 2 week walk that turned into 40 plus years. And a whole generation of folks were wiped out. But who was at there? It wasn't because of Moses.
They had a good leader.
It wasn't the political leader. It was the hearts of the people.
Yeah.
And then one of the best stories that Jason gives, and I'll give one more after this, is when you look at Pharaoh and that same story, go back and read it. Pharaoh's heart was, he hardened his heart. And then it switches and God hardened his heart. And he says, I'm going to do this for my purposes. Right. And so often we forget how sovereign God is until he, as Jason would say very clearly, starts tearing it out the frame. Yeah. And all this gnashing and weeping and wringing of hands about what's going on in our society, we should really look at how we are voting when we go in there. How? What is the heart? What am I promoting with my vote? And then lastly, the example I would say is one of my favorites is the right before the Battle of Jericho, Joshua was out praying because now he's the leader and he's trying to get the people ready, trying to find God. And he meets and encounters this man, and rightfully so, he asks this question. Now, I'm paraphrasing here. He's like, are you with me or are you with the, you know, with the enemy? And the man says, I'm not for either. I'm for myself. I'm the commander of the Lord's army, basically, the commander of the host. A pre-incarnate Jesus is who he was really running into, because that is the commander of heaven's army. And so what you see very clearly, and Jesus makes it clear time and time again, give it to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. I'm for myself. Put it very bluntly, I don't care if it's a donkey or an elephant. I give two flips. I care about your heart. And if your heart is going the wrong way, I'm going to put someone in that's going to help bring you to a point. And that should really scare us and make us pause for the 65% out there. I will bring you to a point where you're praying to me. You're crying out just like the children of Israel, get me out of this. So look in the mirror, folks, before we go to that ballot box.
I love the story of Moses. Now, you and I have talked a lot about Moses. Moses is detailed as a friend of God.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about titles in one of our earlier episodes. How would you like to have that title? Friend of God, written in the Holy Scripture, remembered for forever. By the way, the next way to describe that is he spoke to God face to face, like you would speak to a friend. So I would say that Moses was a pretty good leader, right? He had some discussions. And the nation of Israel didn't enter into the promised land because they didn't have a good leader. It was because of them. And then that whole generation dies. By the way, that those people, God wanted to wipe all of them out. And Moses said, hey, if you do that, you just take my name out of the book of life. I just don't do it. And he stood in that gap, right?
Yeah.
They also had some folks that stood up. And I love this story. They like, you know, we feel like we should be in charge too. And Moses goes, okay, we're going to draw a line. All you that believe that, get on that side of the line. I'm going to stand over here. And the earth opened up and swallowed them. Okay? Mm. Yeah.
Sobering thought. Yeah.
It is a sobering thought. So God was very interested in the people. Then who comes next? Joshua, right? Which is where the Jericho goes, who are you for? I'm for God. God looks over and goes, I'm for God. You can be on my side. I'll give you that. And hey, God, you know, you're so lucky you're here. You're on our side and we're going to do this. And that's not how that works. We're
beautiful point, Jason. Beautiful point, because we've all heard it that God aligns with pick a party. And that is a dangerous place to be. And you know what? Here's why I say that. As great as Moses was a friend, God is most definitely in the business of accountability. And we saw how the story played out with Moses. You're not going into the promised land because you disobeyed me in front of the people. So why don't you say that, Kobe? Why am I bringing up that point to highlight the point that even a great leader is still held under the sovereignty of God? He can change his heart, as I've heard you say, Jason. It doesn't matter who's there. God can use them for his purposes to include changes in heart. Look what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. You're out here eating grass, and he's turning out the flame.
Like an animal.
Right. Moses, friend of God, he's like, hey, you're going to do what I say. Saul, I could go on and on naming leaders that God holds accountable. So what is that saying to the individual? Practical, right? What is the practical moment here? The moment is stop investing in things that belong to the Lord, meaning you're out here fighting a fight. He's not asking you to fight.
Yeah.
You're out here criticizing and bashing and dehumanizing and all this stuff and getting all emotional and losing your faith, operating out of fear for a battle he's not asking you to fight. What he's asking you to do is change your heart, look in the mirror, and impact the community around you with that light. And then you will see the land heal. It goes to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, we're called Christians, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. There is the playbook to change America.
No, you're right. It's not. So let me talk about Moses, right? So Moses comes out of power. He has his change of responsibility, and he's, promoted into heaven. The next guy that comes in is Joshua, right? And you're like, okay, it's Joshua. If you read the first chapter of Joshua, God is telling him more than once, hey, man, be strong, be of courage, right? Take courage, be strong. He tells it to him. So I can infer from that, because God, isn't in the business of repeating himself. Mm. But he says it multiple times. Joshua had a problem. So Joshua may not have been the strongest and most courageous leader. And although he saw all the things and he was always there with Moses, but yet he is the one recorded in the Battle of Jericho. He's also the one that, hey, we're going into the promised land. It's less about the leader and more about your heart. And that, because, hey, God raises leaders as he sees fit. The Pharaoh, recorded in the New Testament, raised for God's purpose. And he did not have a very good military campaign right after that. Chariots and scuba trained chariots did not work out.
No, that is not a good thing.
Welcome to scuba school. It didn't work.
But, you bring up another good point that I think is worth hitting for all of us, for ourselves, is you can see the Lord work. You could be a Joshua. And the thing that really struck out to me, what you were just saying is, he tells them, be courageous and be strong, right? And the reason he tells them that is, again, the Lord is not about fear. He's like, point blank, hey, let's get this out. I got you. You're a little nervous. But for all of us to look at, Joshua saw everything. And I bring up this point. For all of us, the 65% that are out there, if you really are honest and think about it, if you're following the Lord through all the different flips and flops that we go through, at least here in the States with our political system, the Lord finds a way to take care of his own. Does he not? Again, that's rhetorical, but I would just ask you, when you get a little nervous, when you get worked up about whatever political situation going on, it's amazing that you've been able to still take care of yourself, right? Take care of your family, take care of those that you care around you. Because the source of our life, the source of our provision is not found in Washington, D.C. It's not found in your state capital. It's not found in your local commissioner. It is found in Jesus Christ, the living word, the creator of all things. So encourage yourself with that hope. You know, as we talked about, find hope in the word, because it's no variation in that. It doesn't flip. It doesn't flop. It doesn't get into office and say, oh, well, I'm going to do my own thing. It is consistent. Yeah. All through history, Jesus is consistent.
Kobe, you know, when people are out there, and granted, in America right now, we got a lot of problems. So let's make no doubt about it. We have a fair amount. And let's go back and look at some townships that had a lot of problems. I think about Sodom and Gomorrah. They're kind of known for that, right? They weren't known for their, you know, popcorn and candy or production of cars. They are known for something else. Mm. And so as Abraham gets ready and he's debating it, he goes, hey, Lord, let's talk about this. You're going to wipe all those people out. And he goes through a numerical value. And I love this because Abraham's like, what about 30? What about 40? What about 30? He gets all the way down to 10. And God says, say what? There's 10? Yeah, I'll do it. I will not kill them all. 10 people, 10 in the most evil that is known for, they set the bar for evil. Those two towns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if there's 10, well, there wasn't 10. We know the story. But in America, 65% of us say we're Christians.
Hmm.
So, if you think that 65% of us praying and being ambassadors for Christ can't change the heart or inspire, you know, that we cannot say, hey, Lord, we're turning our hearts toward you. Right? We understand whoever's in that, whatever policies they got, but we're going to put our faith and trust in you. That's it. Because, you know, you think about in Philippians, I was looking at it in chapter 4. It talks about, it's a great one. And he talks about, don't be fearful for anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The pastor today thought he had a great comment. He goes, think about all the fear. You turn on the news, and we got this huge fear monster going, 24/7 news. They don't ever report on anything good. Mm-mm. You wake up and you hear there's a war here and there's this here and there's this there. In America, for people out there, you don't worry about Canada invading, right? You really don't. You have locks on your doors. We have rules. Although crime is a thing, I'm not saying it's not, but the majority of Americans do not worry about somebody breaking in their home in broad daylight, taking everything and killing. Right. And it just massive troops coming across. We don't. We're very blessed where we live. And just like the rest of Philippians, about concentrating on those things that are good, you know, and things like that to quell that anxiety and fear. I thought the pastor had a great statement about it today.
No, that sounds like a good message, you know, and I think that's a good way to put a bow on something that, you know, it stirs the pulse for people. It raises blood pressure. And, you know, ultimately, you know, me and Jason talked through this. We're not going to ever tell you how you should vote or how you should live beyond side saying that everything that you do in life should be through the lens and prism of Jesus Christ. That is who is telling you how to live. That is who's telling you how to vote. And he's telling you through where your heart should be. You know, this is not a message of saying, oh, you know, we're for this, we're for that. You know, me and Jason talked about that. And, you know, and ultimately, I think if you're following after him, it becomes clear on where you should try to do your best and place your vote, do your civic duty, however you feel. But your heart is what the Lord is looking at. And again, you know, that 65% thing just it burns into my mind, because I go back to what we just read in 2 Chronicles. If we would turn our hearts to the Lord would reflect that in our culture. And, you know, the church has to be the church in all aspects of society.
So I looked at that little survey and they were talking about it. They also said church attendance was tanking. Right. Now, I did. I talked to one pastor a while back about church attendance and things like that. And he said years ago, you just opened doors and people showed up. But that's not the way it is right now. And in that same token, before I get into that other survey piece. But think about it. I'm a Christian, but I'm being isolated Christian. Well, iron can't sharpen itself unless there's another piece of iron. In a dull sword, as my granddad told me, a dull knife will cut you faster than a sharp one. And that's true. It'll hurt you. And same thing with the word. You're lukewarm. You're not even hot or cold. You're just lukewarm. I'm just going to let it go. That's not it. Here's an interesting fact. It said that only 2 to 3% are actual atheists. How about that?
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, the Bible says, Jesus said the harvest is plenty, but the pickers are few.
Yeah.
Right. And we could go on and on, you know, it's really folks, you know, the more that you seek the Lord, and I think about the sermon I heard today at church, you know, and the Holy Spirit is guiding you in all areas. Voting's easy, you know, and that's not the hard part of politics. It's our behavior and us looking like the world as we go through all this fear and you get caught up in it. And then you have to step back, collective, we step back and look, are we looking more like the world or are we looking more like Jesus and his kingdom?
Yeah. They say there's two topics to avoid at any given time, politics and religion. Well, I will tell you this, if you're a kingdom man, you can discuss both.
Yes, you can.
When I got ready to speak at the church, the pastor, and to his credit, he absolutely wanted to know about me before he turned over that platform to speak. And I said, I want you to know I'm a Christian first. That's it. I believe Jesus Christ is it. That's the only way to get to heaven is through him. Everything else, we'll work that out.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on that. I'm sold on the big rock. That's Jesus Christ. Yeah. And if I'm sold on that, as part of my faith, when it comes to my politics, I vote through the lens of the kingdom because ultimately I'm an ambassador for Christ and I'm going back to that lens. I'm happy to listen to people talk about any of it. I'm not offended because I'm like that. I try to be like that Lord of, or like, you know, the example there in Joshua about the walls of Jericho. And man, I'm not for anybody. I'm for him. I'm on his side. Because that's it. That's his side.
Yeah. Yeah. And you try to get yourself in this earthly system as close to that as you can. Get close to that mark as you can. And that's where your heart is. But, you know, folks, that is another fine episode of the Jonathan Project as we prepare for, you know, what we pray. And we all should be praying, to be quite honest, for a peaceful transition of power as we've had for over 200 plus years. And we should pray for our hearts to be turned back, all hearts to be turned back towards the Lord so he can heal this land. Because as Jason said, we have some issues. But we're trying to do our part here at the Jonathan Project. We appreciate all the support out there. This episode and every episode comes out every Tuesday. And this concludes season 2. So me and Jason are going to get together and figure out season 3 here shortly. The big goal, the big news I wanted to announce, as I talked about at the beginning of the podcast, we're really going to aim for video. I think we figured that out. As Jason said, the technical animal planet kind of characters that we are sometimes. I think we have figured out video. So that should be interesting. It helps us reach, hopefully, a broader audience as we go into season 3 very, very soon. But you can find us at Spotify. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jason.
You know I got a face for radio. I don't know that I got one for video.
It'll be fine, folks. It'll be fine. But you can find us at Spotify, iTunes, you name it. We are there. And please reach out to us at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. If you want prayer, ideas for an upcoming episode, want us to come out for a speaking engagement, you can reach us again at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Jason, thank you for a great season 2. This has been a ride, and I'm looking forward to continuing pushing this train down the road for the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Same. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right.
We'll be right back.